Hello and welcome to the Scrap Gov Scrap Manic Monday podcast. What? Oh, this dog. I will miss this dog when I leave.
Really?
My friend's got a dog. And I'm not a dog person. But I like you.
Yeah, I've noticed. You don't really care for dogs.
I like this dog. He's a pain in the butt, but I like him. Come on, go outside. Anyway, yeah, I just got done cleaning. I'm just waiting on my laundry, and then I'm out of here. Come on. So, tonight is the beginning of our political podcast. This is kind of a test run. We already are not off to a good start as usual.
No, somebody took a shower break.
Well, that too. Well, I wanted to get out of here as quick as possible and have time to clean. So it's better. I left it better than it was when I moved in. So, and that's the way I like to do things. So I think he will be happy. Hopefully, maybe. So, yeah, he's got a good dog. I guess it's a German Shepherd. He's huge. But,
yeah, you've got me kind of hooked on that kind of behavior, too. If I use somebody's toilet and there's toilet brush and cleaning supplies, I clean the toilet.
Right. Well, I may not do it every time, but if it looks like it needs it, I'll do it.
I'll just about every time I'll brush it just about.
Oh, yeah, no, I only do it if I see that it needs it.
Yeah, it usually needs it a little bit.
True, because most people aren't attentive to that.
Well, plus, you know, some of the places I go, people darn right explode on the toilet, and they don't clean up after themselves, and they're at somebody else's house. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross and unfit, and they should have cleaned up after themselves, but since they didn't, I do.
Yeah, especially when you're using a public bathroom before.
Well, yeah, that's almost always somebody has done something really gross, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so you have to clean it before you use it.
Yeah, that's just a natural habit for me.
Yeah, I'm talking about somebody's personal house. But yeah, that's not politics. That's hygiene. Well, I guess it sort of is politics.
Yeah, it can be political, I guess. I got a fortune cookie today that said, hang on, let me read it. It's not politics either, but. Da-di-da-da-da. You will be successful in love. Ha-ha-ha-ha. I need to rename those. Instead of fortune cookies, they should call them funny cookies.
Well, they do have fortune cookies with funny statements in them. Shoot, I used to buy the unmade fortune cookies, the flat ones. I think I forget what they called them, but there's a fortune cookie company in. In Oakland, and I used to go there and buy the fortune cookies that were not folded. What's going on here? Either I'm frozen or my pet's being stupid. Anyway. Oops. I guess that worked anyway. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, how is a political podcast going to work with, you know, most politics center around, you know, when you talk about politics, it center around current events. Well, how are you going to do a political podcast with somebody who just goes out of their way to not know about current events?
What are current events?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Well, there is one thing I wanted to talk about on this podcast. And that's guns.
Okay.
Last night, I was listening to the radio, and somebody was talking to somebody about something regarding the recent shooting and guns and gun control, which I'm against government gun control. But anyhow,
well, yeah.
This guy says, I'm a strong advocate of the Second Amendment.
Okay.
He said the Second Amendment was put in place years ago before automatic weapons.
Not quite true.
Well, he said the Second Amendment was created to allow the people to carry firearms to protect the country against a tyrannical government.
Yes.
So he was on point. But
yes.
Then he said, but I do not believe that the people need automatic weapons in order to defend the country against a tyrannical government.
They do if the tyrannical government has automatic weapons.
Exactly. That was like, what is
quite
this
frankly, the
movie?
Public needs nuclear weapons in order to protect themselves from a tyrannical government that has nuclear weapons.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that.
Well, it's pretty iffy, but
I'd rather
my next-door neighbor have a nuclear bomb than Uncle Sam have one.
I agree that if everybody has nuclear weapons, then the people who are more likely to use them are less likely to use them. I agree with that. Just like if everybody's packing firearms, the people that are more likely to use them are going to be less likely to use them. You know, in a bad way. So, yeah, I did find that disturbing that he said, I don't believe that people need automatic weapons to protect themselves against a tyrannical government. Right, a tyrannical government that has jets and tanks and bombs. We
yeah.
just need muskets to protect ourselves against tanks, rockets.
Actually, there is an argument. While I feel the gentleman who was arguing the point was, unless he was covering this particular point, is a fool. But somebody's pointing out that, you know, oh, everybody's upset because all these county sheriffs are getting MRAPs. And it's like, well, he pointed out that, you know, sometimes your opponent having high technology and depending on high technology is to their disadvantage.
True.
All right. And, you know, sometimes. All right. And so, you know, we get all bent out of shape because they got high tech and we don't. It's like, well, he pointed out that there's at least a dozen ways to disable an MRAP easily.
True.
As a matter of fact, the purpose of an MRAP is to protect VIPs and such. It's not really to go out and do military operations, you know, hostile military operations. The problem is, it's not really very effective at, and that's probably why the counties are getting MRAPs, because the military knows this. Is they're not very effective at moving VIPs. And so they're sending them to the counties like, you know, hey, in case you have riots and stuff, there's the thing. problem is. One good Molotov cocktail to the wheels. Three or four men coming up beside it while you're blind because you have burning gasoline on the windshield. And that baby's flipped over. And once it's flipped over, it's useless.
Right.
You know, you burn out the rubber tires, it's useless. You're not going anywhere.
You're not going nowhere.
You're basically a bunch of soldiers stuck in a tin can, unable to get out because you're going to be pinned down.
Right. Basically, they're in their own prison.
They brought their own death trap. An MRAP is a death trap for the person in it. You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, sometimes low-tech is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is you really don't need high-tech firearms and whatnot because, well, you don't need a lot of it because more than likely, once you take out one person, you'll have their weapons, and then you can do pretty much whatever you want.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that gets me about all these riots. Like in Oakland, there's this huge riot. Why were people allowing the police to shoot them and harm them when they outnumbered the police considerably?
Right.
No. You know, if a dozen people grabbed hold of an officer and stripped him of his gear, they wouldn't have to really hurt the officer.
Right, they just have to overwhelm him.
Overwhelm him, strip him of his gear, send him home naked. You know, nothing but his underwear.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Porky.
It's like, we took your gear, we got your weapon, we've got your bulletproof vest, we've got your face mask shield, whatever. You know, basically, you're screwed, and we outnumber you, and now we have your equipment. And we're warehousing it. What the hell?
What the hell?
Well, you know, nothing. I'm a non-professional podcaster.
That makes three of us.
Yeah, because Lenny didn't show up.
Well, he's not dedicated to show up, but I set the time to 5 o'clock so that if and when he does call in, he's more likely to call in after 5 than he is after 8. And not only that, but other people like him that's going to want to call in.
Right.
Well, also, because most people are usually in bed or ready for bed by 8 or 9. Especially if they got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work the next day.
Right.
All right. I am officially moved out of my friend's house.
Oh, boy. Well,
yeah.
I still stick with, I'd rather have my crazy neighbor with a nuclear weapon than Uncle Sam. Because my crazy neighbor, no matter how insane he is saner than Uncle Sam.
Well, that's debatable.
I don't know. Uncle Sam's willing to destroy you and me for this.
Yeah, so is Dietrich.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
well, let's put it this way.
Who do you think is Uncle Sam? Crazy people.
I tell you what, it'd be a lot easier for people to go after Dietrich than it would be for them to go after Uncle Sam, because there's this mental block.
I agree with that.
You know, Dietrich, it's easy. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, he's pretty crazy. We don't want him to be playing with that. We better go take it away from him, which would possibly be the proper thing to do, you know, but nobody's going to go take away nuclear weapons from Uncle Sam. You know,
they'd
be labeled a traitor.
Or a terrorist. Even though Uncle Sam's the terrorist.
Well, yeah. What's the definition of terrorism? I mean, people forget that.
Well, remind them.
It is the use of political force to achieve your political agenda.
Right.
And Uncle Sam does that left and right.
Every single day.
Yeah, and he gets away with it at first because people go, well, you know, he's doing it over there in Iraq where it needs to be done. Well, that's where he practices before he comes home and does it to us. And they do. They
right.
come home and they do it to us. And they've steadily been doing it to us. And yet we put up with it.
Well, yeah. It's just like a lot of things, like, say, when it comes to driver's licenses and traffic rules and regulations and stuff like that, they use the truck drivers as the guinea pigs because they know the average bloke don't care about truck drivers. So they force the rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, the traffic ones, onto the truck drivers first. And then once they've got their foothold on them, then they start doing it to other commercial drivers. And then once they have the other commercial drivers, then, well, it's normal then, so they go ahead and start implementing it for everybody.
Well, and, you know, there's... if a careful reading of even the traffic laws show that they don't apply to the average individual. But try to not... you know, comply.
Well, yeah, it's just like paying taxes.
No, it's voluntary.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it says so right on the papers.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, it says so right on your 1040 EZ form. It is voluntary.
And if you don't volunteer, they'll take everything you have.
You volunteer for that too.
Right.
Because you didn't fight for your rights.
To party!
You know?
I hear you.
Yep.
We're a bunch of pansies. Oh, what did that one guy call it? Oh, the pussification of America.
Right.
Although he was talking about something else, but it still applies.
Hey. Bunch of pussies.
Bunch of pansies. And you know what, though? I mean, we're all guilty. To one degree or another. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. I mean, not
well,
all
yeah,
of us.
I mean, quite frankly,
are,
you got the...
not all of us. Some people have actually gone full bore, head on, and, well, because the rest of us aren't standing behind them.
Right.
They're there trying to represent us.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of us are to blame. Just like child support, doing what they're doing to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mentioned it to a mutual friend of ours today. And he thinks you have grounds to have them back off. But you don't have time.
And I don't have time to go fight them.
If you went and fought them, you'd lose out on earning income.
Pretty much.
You'd probably lose more income. You'd lose more income than they took. And they know that. That's why they do that crap.
Yeah, basically.
You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, long story short, I pay $1,000 a month in child support. I got 8 months left to go on my youngest. All right? I'm done with my oldest. I'm almost done with my youngest. All I have
by the
is
way,
years left.
How old is your youngest?
20. I got to pay till I'm 21 on both of them. So.
Right. Till he's 21.
Till he's 21. He's already an adult.
Till he's 3 years into being a legal adult. Something wrong
here.
Well,
that's because his mother and his grandmother took him out of public school and decided they were going to homeschool him until he's 21 so they can get me for all they can get. And then my oldest, I probably could have gotten out of paying child support till he was 21 because once he turned 18, he went and got, well, actually, once he was still in school when he was 18. So once he turned 19, his mother went and got him on disability. And I could have gotten out of paying child support then, but I didn't fight it. I just didn't care. I just kept paying.
Yeah.
But
well, and, you know, probably child support's aware of the fact that you are capable of getting out from underneath it. And so they're probably hedging their bets by screwing with you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should be a dick, but I'm not. And that's why I just, like, I don't know. Well, with my oldest, I don't know. I just didn't. I just didn't fight it. I was just like, whatever, go ahead. I don't care. You know, I didn't even know how to describe what I was thinking or feeling. It was just, you know.
Well, that's it. They hit you at a vulnerable time.
Well, I wasn't exactly vulnerable. I more or less did it for him.
Right.
I mean, even though his mother got most of the money.
Actually,
more
I'm pretty
less,
sure the state gets most of the money.
No. Here's how the government makes their money. They take all that child support money, and they put it in that they get from, you know, the individuals, and they put it in an investment account. And they let it collect interest for so many days before they pay out the child support. And then they collect all that interest, and then they pay the child support. That's where they make their money. You know, so it's like, okay, you have, I don't know, a million. We'll just say a million. I'm sure there's more than that. in the state of Missouri paying child support. We'll say 1 million people are paying child support. And they put that in an investment account, and we'll just say it makes 3% interest, which is low. All right? That's what's 3% not $1 million, because that million people probably pay at least $100 a month in child support, and you got people like me that pay $1,000.
Well, so, $100 on the low end.
So we'll say, I don't know, 500 or 200. We'll say 200 on the low end, okay, on average. So you got $200 million. So what is 3% of $200 million?
$60,000.
There you go.
I'm guessing. You know what? Quite frankly, I have to run it through my calculator. Should be able to do that in my head, but
it's let's see. It should be more than that. It should be more.
It's 60,000. But okay. You got to amortize that. You know, you're talking days. But, you know, doing that every 2 weeks, you know,
oh, yeah.
Even a fraction of that every 2 weeks, that's a significant chunk of change coming into the government coffers.
Right, not counting all the tax money that they get. So, I mean, they're making money. I mean, now they may take some states may take some of that money from other people. I don't know how much they're taking off the top as far as for me, because I don't know exactly what my exes are getting. They don't talk to me.
No, they usually don't.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if anything, they get told by the state the reason why they're not getting the 100, the 200, the 1,000, whatever, is because... Well, because you have a deadbeat dad on the other end, and we're doing everything we can to make him pay.
Right.
And quite frankly, that's another reason why they might be screwing with you. Because she might be complaining, and they need you to complain to her so that she knows that they've been fucking with you.
Right. Well, yeah, so they
and of
stole...
Course, And of course, she'll have no sympathy for you because you're a deadbeat dad.
I'm an asshole, yo-de-yo, yo-de-yo.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, so child support, I pay $1,000 a month. Granted, I'm behind because I don't... It don't take long to get behind when you pay $1,000 a month. Who can afford $1,000 a month in child support? I mean,
yeah.
I was paying $1,600 before. So, I mean, that's basically why I got behind.
Right. Eating rice and beans and living in your truck.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I lived on what I called food stamps, which was when you get over-the-road truck drivers get points every time they fuel. Every gallon you get a point or something like that. So I practically lived on those points. I called them food stamps, and I used those to eat.
Right. They just weren't government-issued food stamps is all.
No, truck stop-issued food stamps, if you will.
Yeah. Incentive program to get you to use that truck stop. And for you, it worked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'd fuel at the one that gave me the better incentive. And that's how I survived for the longest time. Because I wasn't making a lot of money because child support was taking, you know, a lot of it. And then they do silly crap like whatever, you know, they couldn't get out of my paycheck because they're only allowed to take 50%. Randomly, they'd freeze one of my accounts and steal all the money in my account.
Right.
Which they just did again.
But you were paying, everything required.
I was paying everything required, and they froze my account and stole $1,500 out of my account. And that was my emergency fund. So there goes Dave Ramsey's thing out the window.
Right.
And I was paying like a good little boy. In fact, when I called my other child support lady, she didn't understand why they did it. She goes, "You're in good standing. I don't know why they did it." But she had no control over it.
Right.
Because it wasn't out of her department.
Yep, and she ain't going to go after her own.
No, she's got to protect her retirement fund or whatever, you know. She's part of the system, so she has to protect the system. She looked out for me to a degree, but only as much as she's only as much as she can without getting herself in trouble. But it took years to develop that trust because, you know, whenever I was at first, she thought I was a deadbeat dad just like everybody else.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they look at the record and the record's falsified in order to make you look bad.
Yeah, after a while, I actually earned her friendship. After my case is closed and there's no longer any, I don't know what the word would be, political ties between us, she's actually going to come down and visit the farm and camp
out. Oh, boy. Yeah, I wonder how much she can tell her.
Yeah. She's pretty cool. She actually said after New Year's, whenever I called about the about something or other, she goes, "I almost texted you Happy New Year's on New Year's, but I wasn't sure if I should, so I didn't." I said, "Oh yeah, you could have done that, you know."
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know. But, yeah. So, I kind of made a friend with my child support lady for Clay County. Clay County was, like, horrible for a long time. But once I got her on my side, that wasn't a problem anymore.
Right.
I mean, Clay County's still horrible. But at least they're not as horrible as they were before. Because I pay, you know, as much as I can, when I can, but I pay a lot. And, you know, I may struggle, but, you know, I'm not running, I'm not hiding, whatnot, whatever. But, yeah, so they, so the other child support people, for my other son, my youngest, they, you know, even though I'm paying them $500 a month for him, they went and took, you know, froze my account. Well, I only had $1,000 in the account at the time. But they basically froze all my assets with that bank. And and basically said, screw you, and took all my money. That was my emergency fund. Well, the company I'm working for now, they deposit my entire paycheck into that account. And I told them not to do that after child support put a freeze on my account.
Right.
And then, of course, they made the mistake of doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So now child support has got another $600 out of me.
And admittedly, it was an honest error, but it was detrimental.
It was detrimental because child support took my emergency fund, so I needed that check, and now I gotta borrow money against next week's check from my company because I just lost my $600 paycheck. And instead of fighting them because I ain't got the time to fight them, I'm just going to tell them, say, look, you stole my money. You got 3 months worth of child support payments. Consider yourself paid for the next 3 months.
Yeah, they won't like that answer.
I don't give a damn. And to keep from getting a warrant, because they will, suspend my license or issue a warrant for my arrest, I'll just send them $25 for the next 3 months and say, oh, I made my payment.
Well,
there's nothing they can
do. Yeah.
Except try to freeze my account again.
You know, it'd be nice if you could figure out who specifically did that and file a lawsuit against that individual.
That'd be a good idea.
Make that person personally liable for their actions.
Yeah, because there was no grounds for it.
Yep.
The problem is the government's gotten too powerful. They think they can do whatever the hell they want, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, fortunately, the beast does not mind eating smaller members of the beast.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't care who it eats. Yeah, it doesn't care who they eat, as long as they eat somebody.
Right. Well, yeah, because the other person's going to argue, well, I was just doing my job.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of the tactics used in court to win against a police officer, you know, go around the fact that the police officer doesn't know the law. And therefore, no basis to judge whether you were breaking it or not. And he has to in order to arrest you or to issue a ticket or whatever. But you go in the courtroom and you start challenging his knowledge of the law, and the prosecutor will say he's not qualified to answer those questions. And there goes their case. The very man who instigated all the trouble against you is not qualified to instigate it. You have to challenge it. And they're willing to eat that police officer's career. And as a result, they never suffer, even when you win.
Right.
And, you know, the percentages show that 99.9% of the people just will not challenge it anyway. And if they do challenge it, they'll challenge it incorrectly. There'll be some flaw in their challenge. Or they'll be up against a judge who will throw up other roadblocks, you know, that they have to overcome in order to successfully challenge it.
Oh, yeah, that was like the last major time I had problems with child support was when I went on probation. This was with Clay County. And I'd been sending money orders, but they were losing those. They were cashing them and putting them in their pocket, but they were losing them.
Yeah, what's the word for that? It's called embezzlement.
Yeah, but I really couldn't prove anything, and I couldn't write them a check because I had a check bounce, and so they wouldn't take my checks. Well, I was working for an owner-operator, and so I had his wife pay my child support and, you know, take it out of my check and send it in. And they sent the money back, or they sent the check back and a letter saying that we don't recognize you as his employer. Then after a couple more months, they issued a warrant for my arrest and threw me in jail. I went to court. I had all my documents to prove that they refused my money. All right? And the judge says, "Do you have a lawyer?" I said, I don't need a lawyer. I got all my proof right here that I tried to pay my child support and you guys refused it. He goes, "Well, if you don't have a lawyer, you're going to prison for 5 years." Forced me to go pay for a lawyer.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, "Well, I can't afford a lawyer." So they gave me a court-appointed lawyer. And the court-appointed lawyer wanted me to do probation plus pay a probation fee. I was like, fuck
you. Oh, yeah,
you,
of course, because he works for the courts. He makes money if you lose.
Right. So I fired him. I fired him because I said, "Look, if I can't pay my child support, or I can't afford to pay my child support because I'm paid so much, what makes you think I can pay an extra, you know, couple hundred dollars a month in probation fees, you know?" So I fired him and went, had to go spend a couple thousand dollars on a real lawyer who really didn't do me much better. I still got freaking probation for something I didn't even do. The courts basically set me up.
No, and quite frankly, the judge who did that to you, he should have been disbarred. He should have been kicked out.
See, he's part of the system too because he's the prosecuting attorney for the next county over.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, he wasn't really looking out for me because he status people over in his district all the time. So, but yeah, I didn't know any better. I was stupid. So I paid this guy a couple $1,000s to keep me out of prison. And I still got probation, but I didn't have to pay no probation fees.
Yeah.
So, I actually saved money in the long run by hiring this guy because I basically paid him 1 year's worth of probation fees versus 5 years' worth of probation fees.
Well, what was Joe's response to his neighbor when his neighbor said that he was going to have to pay so much for sewer being put in?
I don't know.
Basically, no, I won't.
Oh. Yeah, I'll hire a lawyer.
It's like, well, they'll make you. No, they won't. Because I'll pay all that money to a lawyer instead.
Well, yeah, so either way.
That's basically what you did. You paid all that money to a lawyer instead.
Yeah. I mean, I still saved money, but, yeah, I mean, it cost me more money than what it should have because I didn't do anything wrong. It's kind of like that other guy in Stockton or Cedar County that they accused of murdering his mother, and he never did. And they had the evidence that he didn't do it. But
yeah, but they dragged him through the courts for 3 years.
3 years, and he lost everything.
Yeah. Yep. And now he's in public housing.
Right.
Over in Bolivar. You still live in Stockton.
Public housing, what's that mean? Government?
Yeah. Yep.
So, so the government's still making money off of him.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Probably taking all most of his Social Security because of the rent he has to pay.
And my tax dollars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you know, what he's paying doesn't cover the full cost.
Right. So because of this guy, we need money to support him, so we need your help, even though we're the ones who put him in that position in the first place.
Yep.
So they create a problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more money and power into their pockets. Money and power into their hand.
Well, yeah. Yeah, now he's basically their slave. Because he has to depend on them. Can you even hear me? I got rain coming down on my head.
I can hear you.
Do you hear the rain?
No. Raindrops are falling on her head.
Well, okay, I got you in my ear, so I pretty much hear you. As long as it's not a problem, I'll keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah, folks, I'm living under a plastic roof. Two layers of plastic separated by a bubble of air forced by a fan. And it's raining here in Missouri. So basically, I'm living inside a snare drum right now.
Snare drum.
Which actually is coming to an end soon because it's getting warm. There's no point in me staying here if it's warm. So when the fire no longer needs to be lit, I'll be moving back onto the land.
Cool.
So. Yeah, it looks like I'll be working on garden tomorrow instead of fencing.
Gardening.
Ah, but this is a political podcast. We're not talking about gardening today.
Gardening, what's that?
I don't know. It's actually a pretty powerful political act, growing your own food.
True that. Growing your own food is like printing your own money.
Yes. Yep. Very much so. And you know how the government hates it when you print your own money.
Yeah, don't steal. The government hates competition.
Don't avoid theft either.
Right.
You know, that's back to the guy who doesn't think that we need automatic weapons to defend ourselves against automatic weapons.
Of course not.
It would be bad and evil for us to protect ourselves. But that's what the Second Amendment's for, is to protect ourselves.
Right.
Well, you know, people buy into rhetoric and don't realize that they haven't really thought it through. And so it makes it easy for those around us to be manipulated and pointed out as evil and whatever. You know, so when I point out to people that your local judge is heavily invested in the local prison for his retirement, so it's to his advantage that you go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, that can't be. We have checks and balances to make sure that crap doesn't happen. Really? Have you verified that those checks and balances are working? Well, no, I don't need to. You know? Who's doing it for you?
Right.
Have you checked to make sure that they're doing it for you? Oh, you haven't.
No, we need a government agency. We need a government agency to keep the government agency in check.
Well, yeah.
We need more government to keep the government from getting out of control.
I'm dying.
We need more government to protect us from the government.
I want to cry.
Well, that's basically what we're doing.
Well, yeah. Wow. Now I might have trouble hearing you.
Why?
Because the rain is much louder. You know, it's funny. I could step outside. It might not be raining all that bad. But a light rain will make it quite loud in here. So,
Lenny's at a tea party right now.
I've been thinking about that game I want to create.
Okay.
And I have political motivations for why I want to create the game. You know, and you're aware of them. All right. And it is to manipulate society. But it's to do so for their own good. And I want to do it in such a way it's their choice. You know?
Right.
And so, like, you know, I play Mabinogi a lot. Mabinogi has a lot of features in it, like you can actually cook things. All right? You can rip the heart out of a dragon and then turn around and cook it. make some fancy dish out of it, you know. All right. Well, I want to make my game where people learn about gardening and how to garden and stuff like that. And, well, the game we've been playing, they have features where you can build a town and build infrastructure town, you know. Parallel Kingdom did it because you made oil wells and crystal factories. And oil wells and crystal factories and food were the main building blocks for everything in the world. Okay? And so I'm thinking about building that kind of infrastructure into the game. And, you know, provide for people to make cities. All right? And ultimately, it might be easier to make a city. Okay? But I'd also make it where the tax rate would increase the larger the city got.
I thought you were against that.
I am. The cities are all about theft. And people, you know, in the game, you could make a fictitious city that operated without stealing, but the truth is you can't have a city that operates without stealing.
Pretty much has
to steal. Okay? All right? Now, I wouldn't stop people from building their buildings next to each other and effectively having a city. But, you know, I'd give them two options. They could be self-sufficient or even share with each other willingly, or they could go for the standard infrastructure of a city and then do the appropriate politics to create it, you know, and, you know, have council people and stuff like that, all that wonderful stuff. You know. And, you know, I'd have to work it out, but ultimately I'd make it where you also have the ability to go off grid. You know?
Off grid, who wants to do that?
Well, yeah. Anybody who figures out that ultimately they had more freedom if they did. Because, you know, you're out in the country running your homestead and you're on the electric lines and some asshole comes along and cuts your electric lines in the game. You know? What you gonna do?
Right. But if you know how to create your own, then you can just.
Right. So if you go the harder route, ultimately you'd have more control over what you do in the game. And the harder route would be to create your own infrastructure, which, of course, somebody could come in and destroy yours. But to see if everybody was on a quote-unquote grid, one person destroying one key point could bring down a whole kingdom.
Right.
But if you gathered together with you a whole bunch of people who cooperated with each other, and, whoa, that was pretty. Nope, it's gone.
Gone.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you went to the trouble of making your own infrastructure. I mean, everybody is tied into the Stockton dam. That dam generates lots of electricity and distributes it all over the state of Missouri. Something else I learned recently, that dam is the reservoir for Springfield. Major sources of water. It's not the major source, but it's one of them. Springfield gets a lot of its water from the Stockton Dam. I don't know how they get it. I don't know where the pumps are, you know, where the pipes are laid or whatever. But, you know, basically, Springfield is raping Dade and Cedar County for their natural resource. You know, and they, of course, pay the Corps of Engineers, who do not pay the counties, you know.
And we, the people, don't see any of it.
Yeah, we, the people, don't get any of that. If anything, we get taxed for it even existing. It's like, oh, you have this in your area, so you got to pay for it.
Right. Trickle-up theory. Ronald Reagan's trickle-up theory.
Yeah.
Right. And that's another thing. You know, we got to pay. The locals have to pay to go visit the lake.
Right. Well, they don't have to, but they're taking a chance when they don't.
Well, true. there is like one or two, maybe three free areas, but pretty much they charge you to access the lake. And even though you've already paid for it because you're a local and you pay your theft and extortion, and then they're getting the money from outsiders who aren't really outsiders, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're raping us. Rape, plunder, and pillage.
Yep, yep.
Oh, so we got to come up with a name for this podcast, because I tried, Lenny acted like he was interested in hosting the scrap.com site.
Right.
Or hosting isn't the right word. I would host the site. He owns it. All he has to do is redirect the name server to my server. But he doesn't know how to do that. And I tried explaining it to him, and he said, I don't understand. So, and I know he's not going to allow me access to his account. Well, he might now, because he knows me well enough.
He knows you, and he's going to allow you access? No. Just teasing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't even let my business partner access to my site, my server account with all my domain names. Only I have access to that. But,
right.
You know, I set it up to where, you know, we all three of us have our own accounts under the main account. And all
right.
Three of us have, you know, our own private logins. And even though I have access to the main account, I still cannot access their stuff because it's protected. So, and they can't access mine. So I got it set up to where everybody's safe and protected. But yeah, I mean, if worse comes to worse, I'll give Terry my login information to access my stuff, because I do trust him. but yeah, you don't know who to trust anymore, really. So it's like, most people are not going to allow somebody access to their domain names, especially
right.
if their domain names are very important to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean, it'd be foolish.
Foolish, I say. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, people have done that and lost their stuff because, well, it's like David Irish had his stuff at 1&1, and he had no control over that account. And whenever he decided to quit, he basically lost his domain name to 1&1. They hijacked his domain name.
Right.
Yeah, unless he stayed with them, you know, the domain name actually belonged to them. But as long as he stayed with them, they belonged to him.
Right.
So they hijacked them for a couple of years till they realized nobody really wanted them, or they didn't think anybody really wanted them. So they let them go. Little did they know I had them on back order, and I snatched them up, and now I own them.
And nobody was willing to pay them for them.
I let them go, and I bought them from the master domain people.
Yep. Ultimately, anybody who has a domain name is only paying rent.
Yeah, basically. You don't actually own it. You're renting it. It's actually more like a lease.
Yep. And, you know, occasionally some people are able to argue, hey, this is my name, blah, 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 and thus gain control over a certain name.
They can trademark a name if they own the domain name, or if they're leasing the domain name.
I do know that when I finally let my family name go as a website, as a domain name, I was terribly upset when some porn site took it. It was a one of those hold type things. But they were advertising
yeah.
porn sites using it.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, you, I didn't even know you then. I had people directed to that. And then when I let it go, for that to happen was
very
kind of devastating. Yeah. Which is probably why they do it. Because, you know, they figure, oh, you know, if he really cares, he'll be snagging this back right away at a premium.
Oh, right.
You know?
Maybe your ex did it.
I don't think so.
Just kidding.
However, her I don't know. I don't know who hacked my email account. It was interesting how I discovered it, though. I was using it and had to keep logging in over and over again because somebody kept logging me out. They should have had a clue that it was actively being used, but apparently they didn't. They logged in. And I saw this email pop up, and then it disappeared. Before I could, you know, it was junk mail. I would have ignored it otherwise. But, you know, it's like, you know, there's this, your emails, you know, they're in a certain order, right? And so, you know, you're looking for a certain email, and they're in a certain order, and then all of a sudden, something in between is missing. You know.
Right.
And you notice. And so I noticed, and I realized that somebody else had been logging in at the same time I was logging in, and they deleted that email.
Right, and they wanted to get it before you saw it.
Right, and I knew the nature of the email, so I was going to ignore it because I just thought of it as a junk mail. It was for some date site. And you know, I'd been getting a lot of junk mail from date sites, even though I hadn't been signing up for any. I was a married man. You know, I know, lots of married men sign up for that crap. So I was, you know, naive in my thinking.
So you wouldn't even have paid it any attention if they didn't delete it?
No. No, I would, if they didn't delete it, I wouldn't have paid it any attention. You know. But after that, I changed my password immediately. And a whole bunch of emails came in for these kind of sites, and I checked them out, and they're confirmation emails. Somebody was using my account to sign up my email for date sites.
Did you check out the profile to see if it was you or somebody else?
Well, yeah, a lot of them were. That's how I kind of discovered the date, you know, the date, whatever, things in the first place. But I didn't really check it out until after I found out my wife was cheating.
Okay, then you went and double-checked, and then you went back and looked at everything.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and then it all started to make sense. And some of them were good sites, and others of them were, you know, whoever was doing it was signing me up for everything.
Everything. I should be doing it. Not.
Well, I don't know what their theory was, but, you know, it could be that her ex was signing me up. Could be that she was signing me up. I don't think she was technically savvy for it. All right? I don't know about her boyfriend. It could have been my son, because my son was mad at me.
Right, but why would they use your email address if they didn't want you to know about it?
Well, yeah, they didn't want me to know about the confirmations and such, I guess. I don't know. Because I was getting all the junk mail.
Right.
You know.
That's just weird.
Well, you know, people do weird things when they're trying to manipulate.
Right.
And, you know, I suspect they're just trying to manipulate me, and or maybe they're just trying to create evidence against me. I don't know.
True. Create a problem so you can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more power into your hands.
Yeah. Something like that.
Florida, I think it was Florida, just had a school shooting. Do you think it was real?
Probably not.
How many of the school shootings were actually real? Like one?
Well, even the real ones were. Probably staged, paper form.
Probably staged. Well, yeah. They either fake it or they take advantage of a real one. You know, like, never let a good crisis go to waste. What was that? In a crisis creates opportunity.
Right.
My mom's going to wish she never sent me that.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
Well,
in every crisis, there's an opportunity. Yeah.
You know what? And there's an opportunity in two directions, actually. You really shouldn't let any crisis go to waste. If there's a crisis, you should use it as an opportunity to do your Christian duty to go and help your fellow man so that
yep.
they have an opportunity to see how it is they should be operating, which would be you using a crisis to put Uncle Sam to shame.
Right.
So.
Okay, you want to do Ron Paul?
Yeah, that's what this podcast is for, isn't it?
Lenny and Ron.
Lenny and Ron. Ron,
yeah.
Lenny?
Something like that. Maybe next week we'll have some Lenny stuff prepared so that we can go off of some of his stuff. I mean, I pretty much know most of his stuff, but, you know, he's got a lot of stuff. So let's do Ron real quick. I will conduct the call. I find it. There it is.
Yay.
Another terrible school shooting took place in Parkland, Florida last week, and unfortunately, many politicians and pundits have used the tragedy, as they often do, to push their own agenda. Many will use the tragedy to argue that the American people should be prohibited from owning guns, as if anti-gun laws would dissuade a disturbed or violent individual intent on causing harm. Those intent on mass murder don't obey gun laws. It's unfortunate that many are quick to demand that guns be taken away from peaceful Americans. They don't seem to have much to say about guns when they're in the hands of government authorities shooting innocent people. If we need any gun control, it is to get control of the guns in the hands of thousands of government employees who use them against innocent people with impunity. For example, why do those calling for more gun control remain silent when armed federal agents raise Amish farms to stop them from selling raw milk? This shows the hypocrisy of those who call for restrictions on private firearm owners while supporting the use of government violence as a means of controlling our lives. Unfortunately, there are many key questions lost in the race to score political points from the shooting. Why does it always seem that the shooter in these mass killings has been on some kind of psychotropic drugs? As the New American Magazine pointed out this week, at least 10 high-profile mass shootings have been committed by individuals who were either on or just recently coming off psychiatric medication. The young killer in Florida was no different, according to his aunt. He had been on these medications to treat mental problems. Why is it no one questioning these medications, all of which come with labels warning of horrific side effects? Perhaps one reason they are ignored is that the pharmaceutical industry spends billions of dollars lobbying Congress. Also, how is it possible that the FBI once again missed so many obvious clues that a violent person was intent on causing massive harm to others was about to strike? Is the FBI actually this incompetent, or perhaps its focus was in other areas, like meddling in our own elections by presenting evidence that they knew was flawed to the FISA court to get permission to spy on the Trump campaign? We've heard many stories of how alert FBI field agents tried to alert their bosses before 9/11 that foreigners were taking flight lessons but were not interested in learning how to land the airplanes. Is giving the federal government more power to spy on us as they demand the answer to stop these terrible crimes? Hardly. Those who think that giving federal authorities greater surveillance powers might prevent mass shooting should consider that the FBI has been alerted that the latest school shooter had been made Facebook posts and YouTube videos talking about his intention to be, as he put it, a professional school shooter. but the Bureau failed to properly investigate the tip. If the FBI fails to stop someone who openly boasts about their intentions on social media, why should we believe that giving them the power on every American would increase our safety? We cannot stop tragedies like this by banning guns. We need to look seriously into the psychotropic drugs that more and more Americans are being prescribed. We need to demand that our elected representatives demand a real day of reckoning at the FBI. We need to keep focused and ignore those who politicize such events. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, February 19th. Another terrible school shooting took place in Parkland, Florida last week, and unfortunately, many politicians and pundits have used the tragedy, as they often do, to push their own agenda. Many will use the tragedy to argue that the American people should be prohibited from owning guns, as if anti-gun laws would dissuade a disturbed or violent individual intent on causing harm. Those intent on mass murder don't obey gun laws. It's unfortunate that many are quick to demand that guns be taken away from peaceful Americans. They don't seem to have much to say about guns when they're in the hands of government authorities shooting innocent people. If we need any gun control, it is to get control of the guns in the hands of thousands of government employees who use them against innocent people with impunity. For example, why do those calling for more gun control remain silent when armed federal agents raid Amish farms to stop them from selling raw milk? This shows the hypocrisy of those who call for restrictions on private firearm owners while supporting the use of government violence as a means of controlling our lives. Unfortunately, there are many key questions lost in the race to score political points from the shooting. Why does it always seem that the shooter in these mass killings has been on some kind of psychotropic drugs? As the New American Magazine pointed out this week, at least 10 high-profile mass shootings have been committed by individuals who were either on or just recently coming off psychiatric medications. The young killer in Florida was no different, according to his aunt. He had been on these medications to treat mental problems. Why is it no one questioning these medications, all of which come with labels warning of horrific side effects? Perhaps one reason they are ignored is that the pharmaceutical industry spends billions of dollars lobbying Congress. Also, how is it possible that the FBI once again missed so many obvious clues that a violent person was intent on causing massive harm to others was about to strike? Is the FBI actually this incompetent, or perhaps its focus was in other areas, like meddling in our own elections by presenting evidence that they knew was flawed to the FISA court to get permission to spy on the Trump campaign? We've heard many stories of how alert FBI field agents tried to alert their bosses before 9/11 that foreigners were taking flight lessons but were not interested in learning how to land the airplanes. Is giving the federal government more power to spy on us as they demand the answer to stop these terrible crimes? Hardly. Those who think that giving federal authorities greater surveillance powers might prevent mass shooting should consider that the FBI has been alerted that the latest school shooter had been made Facebook posts and YouTube videos talking about his intention to be, as he put it, a professional school shooter. But the Bureau failed to properly investigate the tips. If the FBI fails to stop someone who openly boasts about their intentions on social media, why should we believe that giving them the power on every American would increase our safety? We cannot stop tragedies like this by banning guns. We need to look seriously into the psychotropic drugs that more and more Americans are being prescribed. We need to demand that our elected representatives demand a real day of reckoning at the FBI. We need to keep focused and ignore those who politicize such events. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday.
To repeat the announcement.
All right. So many topics
there.
We pretty much already covered one of them. So guns don't cause crime. Pharmaceuticals do.
Well, yeah, that's Columbine shooting.
Right. Just about every school shooting, whether they really happened or not, all the shooters were supposedly, oh, I'm sorry, all the supposed shooters were supposedly on some kind of psychotropic drug. They were clinically insane. Well, we already know that a lot of these chemicals in our food, water, and air cause mental problems. Like food paint, for example. So then you go to the doctor and you get on more pharmaceuticals to cure these problems that create more problems because they're not really curing the problem. Then they make you more crazy, and then you go out and kill somebody.
Well, those two boys in Columbine said it was as if their minds had disconnected from their bodies and they were just along for a ride.
Right.
And that's a typical description of people who are on the psychotropics and go nuts.
And it doesn't help that they're playing these games called, what's that game called where you run around and kill cops and rape people and kill other innocent bystanders?
Yeah, my kids used to play that. I used to know the name of it.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So you're programming your children with a game called Grand Theft Auto, and then they get on these fucked up drugs because the doctor that you seem to trust says, oh, they're safe. Your child needs this drug for their well-being or their whatever. So you put them
on. Yeah, my mom tells me I was on Ritalin for about a week.
So you put them on these drugs and you program them with these games, and then they go out and do some fucked up shit and you wonder what happened.
What happened? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. They were taking the appropriate drugs. They shouldn't have freaked out or nothing.
Right. That's kind of like whenever my ex-wife had my son on all these similar drugs, and he stabbed her with a pair of scissors, and she put him in a mental hospital. And I tried to intervene, and the government wouldn't let me because she was doing the right thing.
Right. And, of course, he's still on drugs. So instead of Ritalin, now he's on Prozac.
Well, I don't know what drugs he's on. They won't tell me.
They love the SSRIs. Pretty well guarantee that whatever they're giving him, if it's for a mental condition of any kind, it's probably an SSRI. It's interfering with his sleep cycles.
Right. I used to know what he was on, but, they basically won't let me see him unless I am under their supervision. So I can't basically see my son, even though he's an adult now. He's under their control. So, anyways. But they know I'll try to get him off these pharmaceuticals, and that's why they won't let me see him.
Yep.
My son is a crazy person. If you was a friend of his on Facebook, you would know. He does all kinds of stuff. I mean, I just ignore most of it. But he's insane. He's just like his mother. Unfortunately. And I blame his mom and the drugs, really. And I can't get him away from either one. Not that I really want to get him away from his mom, but his mom's fucked up. So, yeah, drugs cause crime. And I'm not talking about marijuana or other natural drugs. Marijuana just makes you want to eat and sleep and laugh. Not that I would know. No comments from the peanut gallery?
No.
I'm just kidding. I would know. But it's been a while since I've done it. I didn't inhale, though.
Okay, Clinton.
No, but anyway, yeah, I inhaled. So, well, okay. So, all right, he was posting this stuff on Facebook and YouTube, and the government knew about it and didn't do anything about it, and we're supposed to trust them to spy on us?
Do you want them doing stuff about stuff?
Well, no, not necessarily. We should be doing it, but we're not allowed to do it because we're not allowed to take the law into our own hands, even though we are the law.
Right.
We are the law. We are the people. Ah, crap. I got fuel today and didn't write down my mileage.
Oh. You idiot.
I'll guesstimate it. It was about 20 miles ago. Probably not that
about.
Long ago either. About.
Break out the map.
It'll
ask
all
it.
Come out. It'll all come out in the next fuel.
Ask Google Maps. How far have you traveled?
True, because Google knows. Google spies on us.
Yes.
Google's part of the New World Order. In fact, I was talking to a guy today about that. He found out that Google has compiled several million minutes of recordings, or maybe even billions, of recordings of him over the past 10 years.
Oh, just him?
Well, him and his conversations on his phone. I don't know how he discovered it, but he discovered it and was actually listening to one of them, or more than one of them.
Oh, well, that's actually shocking that he is able to.
I know, right? I don't even know how to access that information, but he...
Yeah,
I think he accidentally did it.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter how he came about it. Can he repeat it? Can he show others how to do it?
True.
And how long before they patch the hole?
Right. So, I mean, there's evidence right there if you can find it.
Well, I think it was Germany who sued Google over privacy infringements. They were, when they were doing the Google Maps, the Google Street View thing, you know, the little van that drives by.
Oh yeah.
They were breaking into everybody's Wi-Fi. And stripping everything off of the computers as they went by.
Oh, nice.
You know, if they found an open computer, they just park for a while and download everything that was on it.
Yeah.
Hey, you left it open. You didn't secure it properly with a decent password. So, you know, your front door was wide open. We're just going to walk in and empty out your refrigerator.
Empty out your bank account because you left the safe unlocked.
Well, yeah, that too.
Or you had an easy password for us to figure out. It's not our fault that we stole from you because you...
Oh, God. Okay, here's a premise of law that's not valid. It is not valid, okay? Your silence constitutes consent, all right? Well, you know in your heart that it's not valid, okay? Because you wouldn't do that to your fellow human. If they don't respond, you basically assume to their benefit, what to do, okay? The government assumes to your detriment what to do.
The government assumes to their benefit.
To their benefit and your detriment, usually your detriment, okay?
Yeah.
Well, an elderly person we know tried that on another friend of ours, and I tore into him. It's like, well, he wasn't responding. Well, then you don't do anything. You assume the answer is no. If he's not responding, you assume the... Say what?
That's what my mom used to always say. No answer means no.
No answer means no. Means don't do it. Don't act on it. You know? Oh, I tore into her. And the person who was ignoring her at the time was like, what, huh? A little upset that I tore into her. But, you know, when he caught on to what was going on, it's like, well, yeah, no, you shouldn't do that. She was a bit taken aback that I tore into her, and it wasn't any of my business.
All right.
You know, but it was my business. You know, it's my brother that was being affected by my sister. And, you know, now if he has a general policy of it's okay, hey, that's fine. But, you know, I wasn't aware of any such policy, so.
Right.
But, that not every legal principle is truly a legal principle. You know, silence does not constitute consent. It absolutely does not. And for the record, if I do not respond to you government agencies, it does not imply my consent in any way, shape, or form. So you're forewarned. My silence has been broken on that issue.
Yeah. So, we need more gun control to take guns out of the hands of honest people and put them in the hands of criminal government who harasses the Amish and people like us for making healthy food that doesn't have any chemicals in it.
Oh, yeah. There's an Amish farm up in Wisconsin where the government went in and dyed all their milk blue because they were selling it to people.
Right? All natural, healthy milk. You're not allowed to sell or buy all natural, healthy milk. It's illegal.
Well, in that state, yes.
Well, a lot of states. And what was that bread? Was it a bread company, a milk company, or a cheese company a couple years back where they came in and raided them? Probably all of the above. for basically selling healthy products because it wasn't pasteurized or it wasn't got some kind of chemical in it that the government ordained that all whatever has to have. I don't remember. But it happens so often. But this one was big time. It was all over the news.
I forget who it was, but there was this guy that was doing a he was butchering, basically he was butchering wild game on stainless steel tables out in the open. And they came after him. And, you know, for health and safety, whatever issues. All right? And so he challenged them. The challenge was, you know, hey, test my facility. And even though it was outdoors and there was flies and things like that, his stuff was cleaner than stuff that came out government approved. You know, butchering, whatever you want to call them. Government-approved meat markets. His stuff was cleaner.
And it usually will be.
Well, yeah, it was out in the nature. You know, people give me a hard time because I won't eat something off of somebody else's plate. All right, especially if they've
but
eaten
you'll
off of it.
You'll eat after your goats.
But I'll eat after my goats. Yeah. Yeah, I'll eat after the dog pissed on it. Not really, but, you know.
Dog urine is cleaner than human slobber.
You know, I actually am reasonable when it comes to this, you know, cleanliness issue. But a lot of people are not. And so they try to make it look like I'm not reasonable. You know. It's like, well, you accept that, but you won't accept this. It's like a certain David we know, took some of his food and put it on my plate because he hadn't touched it. But there was gravy all over his plate.
Which he did touch.
It's like, I stopped eating everything on my plate and complained. Well, it's no big deal. I hadn't eaten off of it. It's like, dude, you have. Well, it ain't going to kill you. You're probably right. You're probably right. It's not going to kill me.
No. Might poison you, though.
Well.
I'm just kidding. If it came off his plate, it might make you sick.
Well, yeah, it might, but then again, more than likely it's not going to. But the reason why I'm so healthy that I could probably afford to get away with such stuff is because I avoid such stuff in the first place.
Right.
You know, I avoid unclean situations.
Except for chemtrails, yeah. You can't avoid them.
Well, I said I avoid. I can't necessarily stop all of them. All right? You know? And I'm kind to my guests. You know, I've got a gallon of honey here. All right? I don't put my spoon in my peanut butter container and then dip it in the honey and have myself a honey peanut butter thingy and then dip my spoon in the peanut butter again and have another honey peanut butter thingy over and over again. Okay. If I do that, I use a clean spoon each time so as to maintain the integrity of well, not the peanut butter because I do eat directly out of the peanut butter containers, but it's obvious when you see my peanut butter containers I've been eating out of it. Okay.
Oh yeah, I make my own specific container for my stuff, and I make sure, you know, that other people don't drink or eat after me because I'm like, hey, I ate out of that one, but you can eat out of that one. I didn't eat out of that one.
Yeah, especially since you've been exposed to people like me.
Well, I'm like you. I'm just not as bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I stopped drinking out of my water containers when I found people were getting water from my water containers. You know, I go to a work site, I bring water with me, and I usually prepare my water. And the way I find out that they've been getting water from my water containers is like, your water is salty.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah. How do you know? Because I drank some of it. So
okay,
I don't drink.
Note.
Yeah.
Because I got to get out there and be productive. But you were still working on a domain name and where we're going to put it. But yeah, this is our political podcast. We're going to be doing it on Mondays. Hopefully maybe it stays that way.
Right. So if we talk about games, there's a political reason.
True.
If we talk about the farm, there's a political reason. But
true.
Basically, this is for, you know, what's going on in the world and which really is going to make it interesting, because I don't really keep up with current events. You know, you asked me about school shooting in Florida. I only heard about it a few days ago, secondhand, didn't see it on the news. I don't, you know, the only time I listen to the radio is for Tradio and another program that's similar called Party Line, and another program out, I forget what it's called, out of Bolivar, and then there's another one out of Nevada. And I listen to those. And if it didn't compete with the one coming out of Stockton, I'd listen to the one coming out of Osceola. But they're in the same time frame, so I don't. So.
Right. Same here. I don't know exactly when I heard about it, but I know I heard about it on the radio last night while I was listening.
Right.
I was scanning for music.
And
but,
listening to that kind of stuff is the only time I'm going
to
hear the news that everybody else is subjected to. Mostly because it's the same old, over and over and over again. And you never get the truth out of them, even in the beginning. It's often more truthful in the first hour after the event. But afterwards, they start changing up their story. And
right.
A lot of times people chalk that up. And a lot of times people chalk that up to, it's like, oh, well, they got better information now. Well, yeah, but their better information doesn't make any sense. Whereas the stuff they reported at first at least made some sense.
They don't want it to make sense.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know. It's like the Batman shooting. Remember the Batman movie shooting, whatever?
Oh, barely.
Yeah. They found the guy sitting in a car with a glazed look on his face. There's no way the guy they found did any shooting of any kind. He was too glazed. He if he was aiming at the palm of his own hand, he would have missed.
But they pinned it on him.
They pinned it on him. And they pinned it on the name of a certain individual who, if you took the time to look up what that individual looked like, did not look like the individual that they caught.
Right.
And by the second day, they were no longer reporting the huge caches of ammunition and weapons stored under various seats in the theater. Like somebody had...
Oh, another thing too, Lenny provided me with information on, because he's a skilled shooter. He knows about weapons. He knows about guns. I think he used to be in the military. I don't know. But anyways, he's like, there's no way
one person could have fired off that many rounds of ammunition with that many guns in that short of time.
Well, unless it was an automatic weapon.
There had to be more than one person.
Robotically controlled.
There was more than one person involved, if it even happened at all. So basically, if it happened, somebody came in, shot at the place, a group of people came in, shot at the place, and pinned it on one person.
Right, and that was the Batman shooting. And since then, I've heard over and over again, in the first few hours, they'll report three gunmen. Almost always, they report three gunmen. All right? Afterwards, they drop it down to a single gunman. No assistance.
Okay, there you go.
You know, and this has been consistent. So.
And I'm willing to bet those three gunmen work for the government.
Probably. But, you know, hey, I can't prove that. It's a little bit beyond my ability to speculate even. But.
I don't know. Al-Qaeda. ISIS, they all work for our government. Why wouldn't these guys?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know what you've been told. No.
Yeah. All right, I got to get out of here and get productive. But maybe next week we'll have more...
More Lenny.
More Lenny or more somebody. And, you know, our other podcast started out, you know, just kind of like whatever. It's actually still kind of like whatever. But it
it's the whatever podcast. That's its purpose.
Right.
Mostly I would like to think it's promoting farm and lifestyle. But,
yeah,
you know, and in a way it's political also, but sure. it's more open. We can talk about whatever.
Right. So this one will get better with time, just like that one has. You know, we're honing our skills and whatnot, and maybe one of these days we'll have a studio and actually be more professional. And I'm still working on a website for the political podcast. Right now I've got it at scrapgov.com. But it doesn't roll off the tongue like Scrap Gov Scrap. Although, it might work. What do you think? ScrapGov.com or should we come up with something else?
ScrapGov.scrap?
Yeah, there's no dot scrap. There's dot gov.
Have you checked? Have you checked? Have you seen what they got dots for now?
I checked.
They've got dot party now.
I know, they got dot everything almost. But if, you know, I would be like scrap.gov, but you have to be a government agency in order to own a .gov, so can't do that.
Start your own government. Just saying.
I guess they can do .org. It's a nonprofit organization. I don't know. I got .us, scrapgovscrap.us, but I don't think that this topic applies to just the U.S. when we're talking about the New World Order.
Well, no, it doesn't, but, you know, but the U.S. doesn't apply to just the U.S. anymore.
True. So, I don't know. I'll see if there's a dot we for we the people. Alrighty. So that concludes the Scrap Gov Scrap podcast. Join us I don't know when. Monday's a
whenever.
Five right now. Yeah. Call.
Supposed to be 5. Today was 6.
Yeah, because I had stuff going on. But, yeah. Just, yeah, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com for any updates in the meantime until we actually have some more updates, because I'll also post this on DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Woo!
That's our other podcast. So, all right, I got to go be productive so people don't get upset with me.
Right. Get productive. You're pissing me off.
Pretty much. Okay, party on.
Party on.
Bye.